Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord today, worshiping Him, praising Him, celebrating the life of every believer through the work of Christ, and also being able to take this time to worship God, to learn from Him, and to grow closer to Him. What a blessing it is. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be here to serve You, to worship You, to grow closer to You, Lord, to be fed Your word, that we would be nourished, Lord, to be able to go out and do the work that You have given us to do. And Father, we just ask today as we get into Your word that You would open our eyes, let our eyes see, open our ears, let our ears hear, Lord, Your word of truth today. And Father, we just ask that You continue to help us grow in our lives and grow in our relationship to You. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, as we know, we got a new year right around the corner, don't we? It's like knocking on the door. And as a new year approaches, we always have many people thinking about new beginnings in their life. And they think of the things that they do not like in their life and the things that they want to change about it because they do not like these things. And so what do? Many times we make resolutions, don't we? And most of us, the whole week hasn't even gone by the first year and we've already threw that resolution out the window. And, you know, some of us might walk into that new year and say, you know, I really do want to lose some weight, or I really do want to quit smoking, or I want to quit drinking, or whatever this is. And we know that as many other times that we're just going to kick that resolution to the curb. And many of us, after many failed resolutions, just decide, I'm not making a resolution anymore. And which probably not a bad thing, because they can be discouraging when you do not follow through. And today, I titled this message Crossover, and I think a better term for it actually will be crossing over. Because when it comes to our relationship with God, it's not about what we do that gets us into the eternal gates of heaven. It's because of what Christ did for us. So when we cross over into relationship with Him, it's because of His good work, because of His deeds, that we're there. And we can be thankful for that. But as we cross over into a relationship with Him, our lives do change.
Amen.
They do not remain the same. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. We belong to Him now. And when we do cross over into that relationship with Him, it's not going to be like a resolution that we have to where we do succeed or we fail. When we enter into the kingdom of God and we enter into a relationship with Christ because of the work that He did, He is going to see His work come to completion. What a blessing that is, isn't it? And knowing that as we cross into the new year, knowing that as we cross into the new year, let's take a moment and reflect about the time we chose to believe God. And more specifically, I personally see it as God has chosen us. He's the one that enlightened our heart. He's the one who changed our heart. So truly, it was Him who chose us. And it was Him who changed our heart. It was Him who let us see the light to make the decision to come to Him. What a blessing that is. So as we come into His great light, let us think about the wonder of that day, the day we experienced new life as a newborn babe in Christ. Remember that day? I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember how elated I was, how excited I was, and how God truly changed my life and gave me direction. That was direction that had purpose for all eternity. It has an eternal purpose. Brothers and sisters, when you become a believer, your belief has eternal purpose. It has eternal consequence.
Amen.
And your new life is going to transform so many other lives because of the work Christ is doing in you. Did you ever think about that? The eternal consequence isn't just your eternal consequence, but it's the eternal consequence of anybody God brings into your path. And if it wasn't for Christ doing that work through us, it could be overwhelming, couldn't it? Because He is the one who lets His light shine through us. And on this day that we became a child of God, it was the day that we died to our old self and we were born anew in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. And now we choose to live and desire to live in the way God has intended us to live. I often looked at Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And then we go on and we see these things. But brothers and sisters, the power of this scripture that we see on the screen right now, the power of this scripture that we will seek first the kingdom of God is not the unbeliever seeking first the kingdom of God. It's not talking about an unbeliever here. It's talking about the believer, the one who believes. Because an unbeliever does not and will not and cannot seek the kingdom of God. They cannot. By their own nature, they are goats. They're going the opposite direction of God. But to those who belong to God, we have the opportunity to seek His kingdom, and He wants us to seek His kingdom. He wants us to grow in understanding, grow in strength, grow in maturity, so we come off of the milk that we are fed as new Christians and be able to have strength to accomplish many great things that God has planned for each one of us as believers. So as a believer, you have the power to seek first the kingdom of God because Christ lives in you. And He is the one who sanctifies us day by day. So when we know that it's Him doing the sanctifying work in us, and as we get into His Word, He's going to teach us. Isn't that wonderful to know that His power lives in us? His knowledge lives in us? And as we get into the Word of God, He reveals that knowledge to us. And not only does He reveal that knowledge to us, but He reveals in us the will, and our will has that desire to go out and want to serve Him, to want to do good works, to want to accomplish the things of God, to want to get into His Word, to want to pray, to want to yield to His will. That is the power of God that lives in us. So once we become a believer, we begin to live the way God has intended us to live. It is on that day that we are truly born again and we become His workmanship. As the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Because we are a believer, not to become a believer, but because we are a believer, we are His workmanship created for good works. And He will bring all of this to fruit. He will be the one who works through us and guides our steps into the fruit that we are to produce. See, He's the vine. He's the one that has His love and His life and life running through our veins. It's the life of Christ who is running through our veins. Amen. We are the branches. We are the branches. We are the ones who produce the fruit because He is working through us as the vine. Think about that. The glory in that. The hope that we can see in that. See, as believers, we know that there is no halfway in believing, and there is no halfway in serving Christ. You're either all in serving Christ, or you're all out. There's no halfway. God does not like when we look at it and we're straddling the fence trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Christian realm. You're either all His or none His. And there's not a better scripture that points this out than as we see in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. It says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." God isn't looking for lukewarm people. He's looking for those who are on fire for Him. And that's a good test for each one of us when we are examining ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Are we lukewarm? Are we straddling the fence of the world and straddling the fence of being a child of God? Or are we all in and serving God? Brothers and sisters, what a test for each one of us to really do in our life. Because God is not looking for a lukewarm Christian. He's looking for those who are devoted to Him, committed to Him, and want to do His work. And this is not me speaking. This was God speaking right in the book of Revelation. He's teaching us how He wants us to live and what He thinks about someone who is trying to play both sides of the fence. See, God hasn't changed from the book of Genesis. He's not a different God from the book of Genesis. He is the same God from the book of Genesis. He hasn't changed. Jesus said, "I am the same yesterday and today and forever." God has never changed. The God of wrath that we saw in the Old Testament still exists today. And you don't have to go far to see the wrath of God. All we got to do is walk outside of the doors of the church and we can see the wrath of God at work. And if you want to truly understand what the wrath of God at work is, go to Romans chapter 1. Begin about verse 18 and read through the end of the chapter and you'll get a good picture of what the wrath of God is when it is at work. The wrath of God literally is at work when He turns you over to your own desires. When He turns you over to your own desires, that is the wrath of God at work. Him giving you exactly what you want. But when you approach Him on the day of judgment and you bow before Him, will He say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Will He? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question in my own life. God wants us to be devoted to Him. He's looking for our devotion to Him. And it comes out in the fruit that we produce as believers. What a blessing that is to know that. Let's take a moment and turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. This is the verse I was just telling you about, that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. See, brothers and sisters, God has always been good. He always will be good. And He is good beyond measure. And that should cause us to tremble. For those who do not believe, it should cause you to have terror that God is good. Because He is good, our hearts have to be transformed into His likeness. Our hearts have to become like Him, just like the Apostle Paul when he was heading on the road to Damascus to destroy the church, to attack the church. And God came in and changed his heart like that. It takes the power of God to change our heart, to make us good. To make us desire to be good. It would be a very bad thing for all of us if Jesus became like the world, wouldn't it? If Jesus was good today and bad tomorrow, you never knew where you stood with him, that would be a bad thing. But God is good. He has established the law. He has written the law for our good. Because now that the law exists, we understand that we're a sinner. And when we understand we're a sinner and we fall short of the glory of God, we know that the only way to the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ because of his goodness and what he did at the cross. He revealed to us in the Old Testament and through the law that we do not deserve him. We do not deserve life. But he is good. And he has given us life through his son, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to take a look at the picture of his goodness by going to the Old Testament to where Joshua led Israel into the promised land. Because you remember, Joshua, Caleb, and Jephunneh, they all were sent to spy on the land originally, you remember? And there was other men who went with him, and they came back, and these were the only three who said, let's go and conquer the land, and everybody else is afraid and said, we're like grasshoppers in comparison to this nation. There's no way that we can conquer them. And imagine God in his wrath at that moment, when he was like, you think that nation, those men are more powerful than me? That's what they were saying. That God did not have the power to wipe them out. So we know that, as we know, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Because of their disobedience. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. And no one under the age of 20 was allowed to enter in to the promised land. Or over 20, I'm sorry, it was over the age of 20. So as you remember that story, and now we come to the point where Joshua is being guided into the promised land, we'll pick that up in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan. When they camped before crossing over, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you've never been this way before, keep distance of about 1,000 yards between the Ark and do not go near it. Then we'll jump down to verse 9. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gishites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go down into Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, and the waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And then what did they do? They crossed over the Jordan on dry land. Remember this picture? Do you remember this picture 40 years earlier? And God's demonstrating his power again, and they felt 40 years ago, he didn't have the power to defeat the people of this land so they could take the land flowing with milk and honey. Brothers and sisters, God still wants us to trust him today in the same way that he wanted the Israelites to trust him then. And when we choose not to trust him, just as then, there is consequence to that. So today I'd like us to take a look at three things we can do to remain faithful as we cross over into the new year, and as we continue to remain faithful to God and trust Him alone for our salvation. There's the key, brothers and sisters. Don't trust yourself for your salvation. Trust God. Trust what Christ did at the cross for you, because you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Without Christ, we go to hell. We're not good enough on our own. We need the blood of Christ, the work that He did to wash us clean from our sin. The first one is, we want to ensure our goals are in alignment with the purpose of God for your life. And how do we know this? Let's look again at Joshua 3:1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites went out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Brothers and sisters, the picture here is, we do not want to wait for tomorrow to do God's work. Don't wait for tomorrow, do it today. You see a person, instead of looking inward to how can God benefit me, look outward and what can I do to serve somebody else? What can I do? Look outward. Let God work through you. Take action today. And just as Joshua got up in the morning and started the journey before him, we must take the action also and step out in faith and do the work that God has given us to do. When you come up to somebody and they're suffering, and you see that they're suffering and they're in pain, don't be afraid to reach out and say, "Can I pray for you? Can I pray for your healing, that God would help you and strengthen you and encourage you?" And brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how many times that you have an opportunity to share the gospel because of that simple willingness to serve that individual. Because we don't want somebody just to be healed from their physical pain, their physical suffering. Let us suffer physically for the rest of our life if we gain eternity. What is it to gain the whole world, let yet lose your own soul? That's the heart that we should be looking out to the world with. That's the heart that we should have for other people. Because when we open the doors of the church today and we walk out into the world, we see the wrath of God at work all around us. But I also remember that Jesus said that the field is ripe for harvest. But what's the problem? The workers, they are few. Are you a worker of God? The fields, they're ripe for harvest. Are you willing to step out and do God's work? Just as the priest, when they were carrying the ark, put their feet into the Jordan and the water stopped flowing, they were obeying God, weren't they? They were obeying God, doing what He said. And who split the waters? Was it the priest? No, it was God that split the waters and made dry land for them to be able to cross over, because Israel was being obedient. And God will work in your life, and He will change people's lives because of you and your faithfulness, if you just trust Him and be faithful to the work that He's given you and step out in faith and confidence. Amen. It's not about us. He didn't save us for our own sake. He saved us for the sake of the world, so we can go out and be these workers. The field is ripe for harvest. And then the second thing that we can do to remain faithful. So the first thing we did to remain faithful is do the work of God. Do it. Step out in faith. Step out in confidence that God is with you, and do His work. Do it. It's not the job of the pastor to do the work. It's the job of every believer to do the work. I have no more authority than you. Pastor John has no more authority than you. Look at everybody in this congregation today. Couldn't we all do more than two? Amen. Second thing we can do is seek God's presence. Seek His presence. Joshua 3:3 stated, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." We need to chase after God. Chase after Him. And seek Him. And run after the things of God. If the Israelites would not have stepped out into confidence and faith and move into the Jordan, we wouldn't have seen the powerful work of God that day. But it's because they were faithful and sought the presence of God and wanted to see the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, if we walked up to any river and God was to separate that river before us as we crossed over, wouldn't we stand there in amazement? And would we think anything else other than that is the amazing power of God? Amen. And that's just Him controlling the elements of the earth. Imagine what He can do in your life when you just trust Him. And the eternal reward that you can earn by doing the work God has given you to do, by sharing the truth of the gospel. We need to chase after Him, seek after Him, just like we talked about in Matthew 6:33 a little bit ago. You are a believer, so you have the power to seek the kingdom of God, to seek it. We get into the Word of God, God opens our eyes to the truth. We are fed through the Word of God. And as we are fed through the Word of God and we take what we were fed and not just have it as head knowledge, but apply it to our life. Apply it to our mission. Speak the Word of God to other people. We will remain faithful to God. John 3:8 says this, "The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And some people like to complicate this verse, but it's not complicated because the whole point is Jesus wants us to see here that just as we cannot control the wind, we cannot understand the wind, we can witness and understand the effects of the wind, can we not? We feel the effects of it. In the same way, with the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand Him nor see Him. But the proof of His work in your life cannot be denied. You cannot deny the work of God in your life when you serve Him. That's what He was trying to tell Nicodemus. He was trying to tell Nicodemus, when you believe, the Spirit of God will move. And when the Spirit of God moves in you, then He will do the work, and the work will be evident in your life, in the way you live your life, in the way you do things that you do, in sharing your faith with others. It will be evident. Amen. Is there evidence of the Spirit of God in your life? You see, where the Spirit works, there is unmistakable and undeniable evidence of it. You can't deny it. It's there. You'll see it. So as we seek God's presence, we are to be passionate about the things of God. I have a lot of things in my life that I'm passionate about. And for a lot of people who know me, they know I love cars. I enjoy woodworking. And many people might love things like basketball or NASCAR or knitting or sewing or working their farm
or your job. They might love your money. You might be passionate about all of those things. But the thing is, where is God in relationship to your passions? Because He should be above every passion. And if He's not above every passion, throw that passion away. Get rid of the passion. Make God first in everything that you do. That's what He wants from us. He wants to be first. He will not be second. It's not that He cannot be second. He will not be second in your life. If He's second in your life, He is not in your life. God has to come first. So let our passion for God be our light in life. Let our legacy with the world be that you were passionate about God. When you are dead and you're laying in the casket, and as people are walking by and paying their last respects to you, what do you want them to remember about you? That you are a great woodworker? You took care of that car? He loved the Browns. Brothers and sisters, it's laughable, isn't it? Or do you want them to know that you were a child of the living God who spoke up boldly for the Word of God? What do you want your legacy in this world to be? Because you will have one. Do you want God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Is that what you want? And the third thing we can do to remain faithful is to sanctify ourselves and be clean. Joshua 3:5 tells us, he told the people to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Brothers and sisters, sanctify yourselves, for today God is going to do amazing things among you. So how do we sanctify ourselves? We sanctify ourselves in the same way that Israel sanctified itself, and it's through the truth of God, through the Word of God. And we could take it a step further today. They were looking forward to Christ, but we are looking back at Christ. So we also see truth through Christ as we get into the Word of God. We have the Spirit to enlighten our hearts to what we read in the Word of God. So when we go out to do the work of God, we are equipped through the Word of God to do that work. Amen. Let's look at John 17:17. And you'll see how you are sanctified right here. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. Through the word of God, brothers and sisters. Do you love God's word? The next obvious question is, do you love God if you do not love His Word? And the answer is no, you can't. It's impossible to love God when you don't even know Him. The way you know Him is through Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and that is what some of you were, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. It's right here in Scriptures, brothers and sisters, but we don't know it unless we get into the Scriptures, unless we know Him. See, we need to absorb the Word of God. We need to make the Word part of who we are.
We are called to live by the precepts and principles that we find in Scripture. By remaining faithful to the Word of God, we will be faithful to God Himself. We will find it a lot easier to overcome temptation also. Because, brothers and sisters, with Christ living in you, you can overcome your temptation. You can overcome and not sin. Amen. When we sin, we choose. We choose to sin. Amen. As believers, we have the power to overcome sin because we have the Spirit living in us. And the more of the Word of God that we have in us, the easier it is going to be for us to overcome that sin. Do you believe this? Ask yourself this question, where are you disobedient to God? And today, as we approach the beginning of the year, it is a great time to do a spiritual checkup in your life. It's a great time to do that. Much like we go to the doctor every year and do a checkup, do a spiritual checkup of your life. Ask the Spirit of God to transform you. He will. If you come to Him in all sincerity and you come to Him in trust and confidence that He will change you, when you get into His Word, He will change you. And then you will truly be free. You will be fit for kingdom work. And you can faithfully complete the work God has given you to do. So, brothers and sisters, as we close, see, God did not just ask Israel to repent and follow God. He did not call just Israel to be obedient and righteous. He called all people to repent and obey, not just Israel, but all people, including you and me, to repent and obey. That is our message to share with the world. Repentance is still needed for salvation. You cannot have the cross without repentance. It's impossible. But look at what happened when we listen and follow God's direction. Just as God led Joshua and Israel into the promised land, He will bring us to our final reward one day when we cross over into the kingdom of heaven once and for all. We will be in His presence for all eternity because we trusted God, trusted Him, and followed Jesus, who saved us at the cross from the great sin debt that we owed and could not pay. Outside of Christ, we could not pay it. But because of His great love, because we trusted and believed, He gave us eternal life in His presence. Let us pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy for each one of us. Thank You for Your guidance and Your strength. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the sanctifying power that You have placed in the Word, Lord, that as we read, You transform and renew our minds, that we are in service to You. Thank You, Lord, for this year that You have brought each one of us through. Thank You for every breath that You have given each one of us. Thank You for the work that You have gave us to accomplish this year that we did. Thank You for Your provision. Thank You for our salvation. We praise You, we worship You, and glorify the name of God. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.